Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. It's the 21st of January already, and market's down a little bit. Trump's been impeached. And now they're just stalling it again.
So this is casual and unrehearsed. What is that? I never really thought of that too much. What does that mean? It's casual and unrehearsed.
Well, it's unrehearsed.
Definitely unrehearsed.
It's not formal.
Yeah, I guess. Unrehearsed. A little bit planned. Some planning goes into it. Not just
planning goes into it, but not rehearsal. Right. That's different.
Yeah. So you're mentioning it's raining in California.
It's raining here.
I mean, when you say raining, is it raining as in, you know, it's just been raining, or is it like a Florida rain where it rains and you just can't even drive?
No. That type of rain in California is very rare. I've been in Florida for one of those, and I've also been in some other parts of the South where you get the rain comes down so hard that you actually have to pull over.
Oh.
If you can see a place to pull over, that's how bad it is.
You ever drive down the road and you see a bunch of motorcycle guys and you see that clouds coming up and you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to stay on their side to watch what happens when it starts pouring?
No, I've never done that.
No?
I've been in a storm on a motorcycle. That's not a pleasant experience, I can tell you.
No fun. Well, we have a pleasant experience going on in Switzerland. We have the Davos confab underway. The billionaires and the millionaires are telling all about wealth inequity.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, spending time talking about
the little people.
Yeah, how it's not fair to everybody else out there and all that. We had a short week this week for markets in honor of the Martin Luther King. So we'd say Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, Martin Luther King holiday.
Martin Luther King Jr.
Jr. holiday. Limited economic information out. Earnings are continuing to roll in. We have now the new unexpected out of nowhere coronavirus. That's what happens when you drink too much beer, obviously. And China's worried about contagion. You got mask companies and pharmas popping up and doing all sorts of crazy things with the markets. Upgrades everywhere. Seems that analysts are just spunky and excited.
It's upgrade time, except for this coronavirus thing. This is a bigger deal than I think a lot of people want to admit to.
No, nobody would admit. Oh, no, it's the
Corona.
No, that's Corona. Anyway, the guy from Japan, I can't remember his name. The Fed guy, the central banker, is like, not to worry about, don't worry about this whole thing. It's fine. Like, what? Yeah. How does he know this stuff? He's a banker.
Yeah, what's a banker know about, you know, disease vectors?
It's, you know, he's like, don't worry, because all he wants to do is calm the markets. That's his job. Calm the markets, make sure nobody's upset. Nobody gets too excited about anything. There was a big sell-off last night in Asia. So we're trying to make sure that, don't worry, it's
affecting our market too.
Yeah, and then they'll bring up, now we have all the articles coming out about, well, when we see these kind of global issues related to health, they're usually just temporary. Markets get upset, but after that is nothing. Until it's not. So.
Well, we'll see.
Yep. Market update, can't keep it down, even with a global virus scare. We did see a little bit of a drop in the markets in the U.S. here, but around the world, it was a bit worse. Europe obviously started coming back as soon as we started coming back. In fact, we got to the plus territory today a couple of different times before, by the end, it just failed. Because, well, there's nowhere else to invest, it seems. And the Fed is continuing pumping in money. Another $25 billion was pumped into the markets last week.
Well, that's nice. Yeah,
not in the markets. Well, indirectly into the markets through their repo and their short-term and overnight lending operations, as they call it, POMO, P-O-M-O, Permanent Open Market Operations. Quick note, I will not be available next week.
What happened?
I'm going to D.C. on Sunday. And I have meetings Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
You're involved with the impeachment?
I am. They're calling me as a star witness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll be, I wonder if I have any time. I couldn't go and be in the gallery.
Oh, it'll be packed. You can't even get in. You might as well forget it.
Yeah, I will. Anyway, I'll be there up there and flying back. I'll about landing about 9 o'clock. So no time to get to from the airport here.
Okay. Well, we'll skip a week.
Well, let's talk about this outbreak. And the question is, when does this outbreak become a pandemic?
Well, it's got to be in more than China, but I don't know. That's a good question. I think they kind of make up when to call something a pandemic. There must be some rules.
I don't think they'll want to call it that. You know, they want to maybe call it some kind of a bad flu. But just catch people up here. Let's catch people up.
So it's killing people left and right.
Right. So there's an outbreak of a new coronavirus, which has spread to more Chinese cities, including the capital of Beijing and Shanghai. And this is the fourth case. I think the fourth case has been reported beyond China's borders. China confirmed another total of 140 cases, and it could be up from there. I think 8 people have died so far from this.
Yeah.
And it's some kind of a variant of pneumonia, and it could pass from person to person. That's the big issue, right, is that we have the potential for it passing from human to human. I mean, some of these other diseases in the past, you had to, like, eat certain foods or chickens passed it and all that. Now this is able to be passed from human to human. So
it's like a normal flu.
Yeah. So it's a bad one. And the timing is really bad here for China because we're entering into the Chinese New Year.
Right. And so everyone's scattering around the country.
Right. Or not. Right. Well, that's the problem in the economy.
They tend to plow through these things. Yeah, let's go anyway.
Well, travel related companies took a big hit today. Casinos took a big hit. Those related to China. You know, you had like Wynn down 6% and Las Vegas Sands down. So you add that. This is the interesting thing. You add that to the problems we've had already in Hong Kong and the protests that have kept a lot of people away from traveling to China. So this has become just a major problem. You have to wonder, maybe was this somehow planted to take down their economy?
It seems unlikely.
Unlikely. A lot of unlikely things have happened, though.
I'm sure as conspiracy websites would probably make that claim.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Well, let's just blame it all on George Soros.
Because these things, it's like a germ warfare,
right,
is what you're describing. Yes. And that always backfires because you end up getting it, too.
Which, by the way, we have an update of this just this evening. I think late this afternoon, a Washington resident, your side of town, Washington State.
Yeah, Washington State.
Is infected with the virus. They call it the Wuhan coronavirus. Started out in Wuhan province. And there was some infection. And there's also, the people that started working on this originally, who were the caregivers and doctors and nurses, were starting to come down with this. The problem now is that this could be in a lot of other places. But somebody in the chat room is asking if I normally pronounce pneumonia with a P. Of course you do.
When you said it, I was thinking about saying something, but I know you're just joking around.
Of course.
Pneumonia.
Anyway, pneumonia. You're happy? Pneumonia. So the problem, the problem is that, you know, you don't know who has it and where, because some of these things may be actually showing up as a bad case of the flu or something like that somewhere else and not known.
Yes, this is going to be what happens,
right,
because we're right in the middle of flu season and everyone's got the flu.
Right. So the actual diagnosis of the particular strain or whatever it is now will start happening. So what we have from this is, interestingly enough, very similar to what happened with, let's say, the SARS or Ebola. Remember that whole thing? We've talked about that. And we had a couple of companies that were already coming out with, I found this fascinating. There was a biotech firm or a pharmaceutical firm. It's like, yeah, we have a candidate for the coronavirus to, you know, utilize. I'm thinking, how do they come up with something when we just found out about this 2 days ago?
Well, coronavirus has been around for years. And so I'm sure someone's been working on it forever.
Well, I think it was called a company called Novonex. I think it was called that. Popped like 50% today. And two other companies.
Yeah, we missed out.
Yeah, two other companies, though, popped pretty interestingly. It was the same ones that happened with the Ebola and all that. It was APT or Alpha Protech. And what they do is engage in developing, manufacturing, and marketing of a line of disposable protective apparel. They also do building supply products.
I remember these two. These guys.
But they, I found this interesting. I dug down to find out a little bit more about what they do. They also make lab coats, hoods, frocks, and other miscellaneous products. The infection segment offers face masks and eye shields. So my question to you is, what's a frock?
I think a frock is like something that it goes over your shoulders and doesn't, it's not like a lab coat you wear. It's like a jacket. It's got buttons up the front. I think a frock just has no buttons.
See, is there anything on the back?
Yeah, it's a frock. Maybe it's tied back there. I don't know. I think a frock is just something like it's kind of like a dress.
Yeah, you maybe put it over your head and it just drapes down.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I used to work in a lab and I used to wear a lab coat all the time. This is coming back to me. So I'm thinking, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think it probably has some.
And by the way, there's nothing cooler than wearing a lab coat.
Yes, right. With a pocket protector on there.
Well, you could if you wanted to do it right.
Yeah. So the other company is, APT was up, I think, 30-40% at one point today. The other company is Lakeland Industries, another company that only does well if there's an outbreak. They have a variety of protective clothing items as well. So that's LAKE and APT. I'm going to put one of those on the game. I don't know which one. I feel like I did this before and didn't work out because it just, you know.
It's too late, too little, too late.
Yeah, one day late. Now, in addition to all this, at the same time last night, Moody's decided to cut their rating on Hong Kong from AA3 to AA2. They also changed the outlook from stable to negative. And this is the big problem.
I was AA. Oh, okay, never mind. Keep talking.
Went down the list of A's. So they're, you know, still close to AAA or AA+, I should say. Not AAA, AA+. But of course, this has to do with the fact that the protests over the period, I think, you know, there's been Hang Seng Index has been coming back. And then at the same time, rent prices are expected to drop about 20-30% over the next couple of years in Hong Kong. 2019 saw investments in the city's official or the office and retail property space down by 52%, which was the second largest decline in any single year. Mm. That's pretty ugly. And these protests are causing problems. I mean, you think about that. Who wants to go into Hong Kong, into any kind of area that may have restaurants or retail stores or even a business? Why would you want to travel through all this chaos unless you had to?
Yeah, doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
A lot of people think that this virus was created by talking about your conspiracy theories, to infect the Hong Kong protesters.
Oh, so you but they missed a little bit to the.
Well, it's not necessarily. They may be coming up.
But I mean, if you think about that, if that is the truth, and if it's the Chinese government doing this, I mean, they are so petrified because the amount of people that live in that country and how tightly packed they are and the density of their cities to actually let loose any kind of a germ is suicide. I think it makes sense from a conspiratorial standpoint, but yeesh. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. It's not happening.
So I want to talk a little bit about Davos. So this is the annual meeting, the confab of all these rich and elite and, you know, the billionaires. Thurston Howell III would be there if he could. I mean, that's the kind of place it is, right?
Pretty much. They all go skiing. They all have their little dinners together. And they're separated by class. I've never been to it. I know someone who organized it, one of the organizers, and I could have gone some years ago. But I had no reason to go. And it was like, what am I going to do there? So like we talked about, you get into a backstage pass in a rock band. You don't know anybody back there. It's just you're just hanging out with a bunch of rock guys and you can't even talk to them. So it's the same kind of thing. But I know some journalists that went quite a few times and other people that have gone, and it seems to be segregated. So, you know, you can go here, but you can't go there because it's where the hot shots are. You're not that, you don't qualify. And it seems kind of, it seems like a bit much to me. And there's all blowhards.
So What was that organization that was supposedly running the world's economics?
The Bilderbergers.
The Bilderbergers. Yeah, this is kind of like a public Bilderbergers, isn't it? In a way,
it's more public facing. It's not a secret. They have everything is published, and whatever people say in these meetings goes. You can find the papers; they're all online, and it's probably more sincere world building than the Bilderbergers, which I think is a drinking club personally.
Mm. But, you know, this is like, in a way, for years it was looked up upon as, wow, you know, all these very influential and very affluent and very connected people getting together and, you know, sharing ideas and trying to make the world a better place. And it's turned into these, you know, egomaniac billionaires that are out of touch with reality, that all they want to talk about is global, you know, climate change and global issues and somehow how it's going to line their pockets.
Yeah, that's what the whole thing, this is the game.
I mean, that's what it's turned into, right?
Seems so, yeah. They talk too much about this. And there's less about the economy or poverty. That's not even discussed anymore.
It's interesting because as this is going on in Davos, new research shows that the world's 2,153 billionaires have more wealth between them than a combined 4.6 billion people.
Yeah.
That's pretty ugly.
Yeah, it's nothing to brag about.
And they're going to be hawking about raising the minimum wage, you know? I mean, so and solving all these issues and talking about how government should be helping people, that you know, having government intervention more, you know, that central bankers have now gone wild and it's no longer any good. But this is what has built them into their billionaires, is all this excess money that's in the system. I don't know. Do you have respect for the whole thing?
The meaning? I think it's kind of a more of a carnival personally. I don't have disrespect for it. I mean, these guys have got their money and their job is to keep it.
If you were invited, would you go?
You know, when people get to that point, you know, your biggest goal is to maintain the wealth. And you want it because you don't want people stealing your stuff. And so your whole orientation is really pretty much to keep the hoi polloi from stealing your stuff. You don't want war. They tend to be anti-war because in most situations, war becomes just a good excuse to steal stuff from other countries. You go in there, raid them, take all their art and kill all their rich people and take all their money. So they don't like war. So they tend to be anti-war for that reason. And, you know, it's not, you know, just a bunch of people protecting their assets.
So how did it change, though, from something that was well-respected, I guess, into what it is
was
now?
It?
I think it was. At least I thought it was. I thought it was like, okay, let's see what they have to say.
It's always been kind of the same.
It was
that's why I don't have, you know, any negative opinions about it, because I never had any positive opinions about it. I always thought it was just pretty much a meeting of a bunch of super wealthy that were going to, you know, make sure that they knew everything that was going on. They could trade the information and so they could protect their wealth, their assets.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, there was a lot of times in the past where many central bankers came there. I don't recall seeing a lot of central bank talk. Maybe because all the central bankers are talking all the time anyway, they don't need this platform anymore. You know, whereas they used to need to have these outreach platforms where it was either Davos or it was when they would go to in Wyoming.
There's something to be said with that, about that theory.
Yeah.
Because now with social media and the different way things are information is distributed, you don't necessarily have to go to these things and make an announcement there.
Right. Yeah. Well, Tesla in the news again. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or the NHTSA, is reviewing a petition asking the agency to formally investigate 500,000 Tesla models over sudden unintended acceleration.
Yeah, I saw this.
What was the car? What was the car back in the day that had this?
It was Toyota.
It was a Toyota?
Yeah.
And the Pacer, was it the Pacer that had the... What was the one with the exploding gas tank?
That was the Pinto.
Ah, the Pinto. Yes, the Pinto, not the Pacer. Right. So we have a sudden acceleration reports. Now, this covers models from 2012 through 2019. And the Tesla S, the 2016 through 2019's Model X, and 2018 through 2019's Model 3s. And it cited 127 consumer complaints to the agency involving 123 unique vehicles. And the reports included 110 crashes and 52 injuries.
I wonder what you know, there's, I've always thought about this. If your car, that's why I kind of like a car that's like normal, where you push on the gas is hooked to the gas pedal is hooked to a kind of a lever that pushes on a thing about, it pushes against something. It's a mechanical, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
I've always preferred that because these are all electronic. There's no, you know, so if something starts accelerating, I mean, it's got nothing to do with anything. It's you can't do anything. What can you do? Maybe the brakes, the pedal, everything is all part of an electronic system. I think even the gear shifter. There's no gear shifter, you're just going or you're not. What do you do if it starts accelerating? What are these people, what have they done in the past?
Hopefully slam the brakes.
Yeah, but I'm saying the brakes are also part of the system. That could be just as disabled.
I guess it could be. I mean,
you could disable the brakes and put the gas on full tilt and even turn off the steering for all, because it's all electronic, these devices. These things they're all fly-by-wire. It just sounds dangerous to me.
I mean, we're going that direction on everything. Even, even boats are all electronic these days, fly-by-wire, not cabling, but fly-by-wire transmission of your...
The network, yeah. Their network.
So... Of course, Tesla is out with, I don't know, no. That's not true. You know what it is? You know what they're blaming this on? Short sellers.
Wow. I love this guy.
Everything is short sellers, okay? There's no basis for this complaint. This was all about short sellers that wanted to take the company down, and there's just no... truth to this at all. It's all short sellers. How can it be that many short sellers?
There can't. This is nuts. I think it's funny, and I like the way this guy does this sort of thing.
Now, I mean, listen, let's go out on a limb here and say that it is possible that someone with a big amount of short positioning would go out and buy, I don't know, how many cars was this? 123 vehicles?
Not that many.
Add that up at 50, 60, 70,000 a clip. Adds up to a bunch of money. But you take those and you start making complaints and maybe giving them to people and say, hey, sign this. And I don't know, it would seem a little bit much.
That's going out of your way. And that could, you can get busted for that. It's fraud. You can get thrown in jail.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, that's what
you'd have to be a real good scammer to pull that one off.
This is like a Bobby Axelrod from Billions kind of move, which I'm not buying it. And I think it also is showing once again how incredibly ridiculous Elon Musk is. As great as the stock is doing, as great as the cars are, something's not right with the whole short seller thing. He's not even happy when the share price eclipsed $500 a share, well above the 420 that he said he was going to go private with. He still has to start yakking about the short sellers.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have more shenanigans and hanky panky in the boardroom. It seems that U.S. consumer electronics retailer Best Buy said on Friday that its board was conducting an independent review of allegations of misconduct against Chief Executive Officer Corey Barry after receiving an anonymous letter. So first of all, a couple of problems I have here is you get an anonymous letter. Hey, Andrew was dating his assistant or something like that, right? Just some kind of anonymous letter in a big corporation and laying that out. So they're investigating that, which I guess, you know, you have to investigate everything.
Sure.
You have to wonder, as companies seem to have a significant amount of sensitivity with all of this boardroom romance, what the hell's wrong with these CEOs?
Yeah, horny.
Well, horny, I'm thinking it's kind of this this psychology that they think they're invincible.
There's got to be an element to that for sure.
But we'll look into this. I mean, so far, who knows what's happening? This is a female CEO, and there was some history of her having a relationship with a former, I think, this financial officer or somebody that was at the company. So I don't know, you know, who knows with this? This is like this is the Me Too thing where we haven't seen a lot more significant Me Too cropping up lately. Have you noticed that? It kind of died down a bit.
Yeah, I think everyone's waiting for the Harvey Weinstein trial to be over. See what happens.
Did you watch the new episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I didn't know it was out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Season 1, episode 1 is out.
Oh, when did that happen?
A few days ago.
It'd be season one. It'd be season like 10 or whatever season, it is.
Yeah, whatever it is. But, you know, Jeff, the Larry's.
Yeah, Jeff Garland.
He let his beard grow just a little bit. Just a little bit. And everybody's confusing him with Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein.
It's hysterical.
That should be funny. Yeah.
It's hysterical. There's a couple
have
of things.
Have you ever seen the Curb Your Enthusiasm there's this Palestinian chicken outlet?
Yep.
That's, I think, the greatest one they've ever done.
And he's screaming in the streets. I think it was a good one. I liked it. Yep. Tech companies questioning whether they're too big. I mean, we're hearing they're too big from the Democrats on the trail. And
they're trying to get money from. They're trying to squeeze money from. This is a money squeeze.
Yeah, well, but
they're not going to do anything about anything. They just want to get the tech companies to pony up.
Pony up to who?
The Democrats.
They want to take. They want them on their sides, funding their campaigns.
Well, they're on their side, but they're not coughing up enough cash.
So they're going to keep on squawking about breaking them up until they really pump money in the coffers.
Exactly.
Ah. Well, we'll see. I mean, right now, I don't know if you watched that last Democrat debate. Oh,
if you want to call it a debate.
I don't even understand. There is just no, they're terrible. I mean, this is terrible.
Grim.
They have no energy. They are honestly, if you didn't know, you would think it's a Saturday Night Live skit.
And it's not nearly as funny.
Not nearly as funny at all, except for the last hoorah of last when two things happened, which I think you guys talked about on the No Agenda show, by the way, on Thursdays and Sundays. No Agenda, 3 hours of just entertainment galore and news and conspiracy with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. Listen in on that. But you picked up on this whole last line that Warren walked up to Sanders and said, did you call me a liar on national TV?
Yeah.
Staged. Then I think that was something. And Burr's like, let's not do this on TV. We'll talk about this later. And then the best of all was when Tom Steyer comes over groveling. Bernie, I just want to say hi.
Steyer is such a weenie.
That was so weird.
It's embarrassing to watch him.
So weird. So weird. And then the, I think CNN said they couldn't make out exactly what was said at the end. So they discounted that. They couldn't figure out. They didn't report on it because they couldn't really understand what was being said.
Everyone could understand it.
Everybody. It was terrible. They have nothing to be proud of with this grouping coming to the fore. Who's leading now? Is it Biden?
Yeah, Biden's really, I think he's going to coast to victory.
Man is too old, it seems, but okay, let's see what happens. I mean, if he's the best of the group, I don't know what to say.
Sacrificing him. I don't know if they really expect to win. I mean, they're doing their best with this impeachment thing, but I think they're just going to, you know, give Biden a shot because he's, you know, he's next on the checklist. And I believe he's going to pick the woman, the governor of New Mexico, as a running mate. That's at least I can predict something. And, see how the hell he does. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always the thought that, Trump won.
Well, Trump's got to, at this point, he does his best on a regular basis, but he's got to basically self-implode to lose this deal.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, they will talk about him maybe doing that, but you'll never find any evidence of it, because all you have to do is watch one of his stump speeches where he goes in front of 30,000 people, you know, and wherever it is, he draws his huge crowds and does an hour and 15 minutes of stand-up comedy.
The best was when they did the signing ceremony. Did you watch the signing ceremony for the China?
Oh, the Nancy Pelosi one?
No, the signing ceremony for the U.S.-China trade deal.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, too.
It was 45 minutes of him picking people out of the audience saying, hey, look who's here, Governor blah, blah, blah from blah, blah, blah. You know what? They really like you down there in Arkansas, don't they? But you know what? I think they'd like me a little better. I mean, really? I mean, just everything was a backhanded slap and then, compliment and then a kind of a backhand.
Yeah, well, that's what you have to expect.
Oh, it was just, Anyway, we talk about tech companies here, and one of the things I want to mention was that the recent update of size from a market cap perspective on Apple and Microsoft. There's a chart here, episode number, what do we got, 490 under the show notes. You're going to have, this is unbelievable. Look at this chart. The combined market cap of Apple and Microsoft is larger than the total market cap of the German DAX.
No, that's funny.
I mean, how does that happen? That really tells you not only about tech, of course. It tells you about the total
If you have higher, but it's a lot higher.
Right. If you have any question about the dominance of the U.S. markets and the U.S. economy, this chart tells you exactly why that is. But that's pretty astounding.
Yeah, that is astounding.
It's not higher than the peak back in 2000 and... we'll call it 2017 or so.
The Germans had a big number up there, and we haven't even gotten to that yet, but close.
It's close. Pretty amazing chart, I thought, when I saw that.
Yeah, that's a great chart.
Yeah. Now we have a pop quiz talking about large caps. What are the two most shorted stocks in the U.S. market right now in terms of total size of the short? Not shares, but total size of the short. If you take the...
I'm guessing that Tesla's one of them.
Yeah, Tesla's one of them. That's the other one, which I don't know if it really qualifies. I mean, it does qualify. Is Apple. Now,
it does, really, Apple's is the second biggest short? Or
you have to remember something. Apple is worth $1.39 trillion.
Oh, okay.
So if they have $14 billion sold short, it's 10%. Whereas the Tesla short is much, much bigger.
What's the percentage? Can you do it?
What's Tesla's market cap? It's, I think, 80. So it's like, is it like 25%?
Hmm.
Let's see, 80, 20%. I would say about 20%.
Well, I like both of those as shorts if the market turns around. But with the market just kind of plugging to 30,000, which might be a good bet to make. It might be closer to the pin. But when's it going to hit 30,000, which is going to be in the next 6 months for sure, if not in the next 30 days.
Yeah, could be next
right?
week. It could be next week.
Could
only,
be next
it's only
week.
Like 3% away.
I know, it's nothing. It could happen in one quick day. It could happen tomorrow.
Right.
But when it gets up there, it's going to start to, I don't think it's going to keep going forever. And if it turns around, we have a good correction. I think both Apple and Tesla shorts are going to be looking good.
Yeah, I think Tesla's obviously a better short. I think that it's riding on a lot more air than Apple is, because Apple is just, I mean, they sold, what was the number? It was some crazy number.
Yeah, but because of Tesla's shorts numbers, don't you think that if you had a freak out and these shorts all, you know, bailed in to, you know, to keep from losing their ass? Although I can't imagine this.
That happened already. That happened already. Went from 400 to 550. It can. It definitely can. Apple would be a little bit more orderly.
I personally would just write out the Apple short.
Yeah, Apple will be a lot more orderly than Tesla. Tesla could, you know, go down. I personally shorted Tesla last week. I made like $37 a share on it. It was a quick in and out. You had to be in, out. You know what I'm saying? Quick. Kind of a day and a half.
Yeah, it's a day trader's short.
But that was it. And it was like, I happened to get it just right, where it spiked up and there was nothing there. And I said, you know, there's definitely some resistance at this point, and took it, and that was it. But trying to do that on a regular basis with Tesla is not easy.
Well, it's suicidal.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you have all the people that I was reading a Tesla thread tonight on Twitter. Somebody's talking about how, you know, it really makes a lot of sense to take some of the profits now that Tesla's gotten so high in value and all this whole, you know, it's smart to take the profits. And then if it comes back down, maybe reinvest and all that. And all the replies, well, why would I do that now? I'm going to wait till it gets to 5,000 a share.
Or, oh, yeah, there you go.
If I would have done that with Apple.
The insanity side of the equation.
If I would have done that with Apple, I would have bought it maybe $20 in 2007, and I would have sold it at maybe $160. Why would I have done that? Split 7 for 1, and it's back all the way up again. So I'm riding it out. That's the whole list, So.
Yeah, well, you can take a number of stocks. Like Apple's a good example. Microsoft, if you go back far enough, when this IPO came out, it was $16. And they're split. And you would have, you could have bought 1,000 shares back in the day. And if you stayed with it, you would have been made over $1 million easily.
Yep.
But who does that?
Right. And it's funny because you see all
if you bought it and then you had amnesia and then you forgot about it.
It happens.
You could probably make that work. You'd have the $1 million, but it's not something anybody does. They sell at some point. They go, wow, look at this. I've made 10X. I've made 10 times my money. I'm out of here.
Which is a smart thing to do. You diversify some of it out and you redeploy it, because there's other opportunities.
It's a smart thing to do, except it would have been smarter to keep the stock.
Naturally. I mean, there's all these comparisons on a regular basis. You see it all the time on if you would have held Apple,
yeah,
if you would have
bought Apple at this date. It's illogical. Nobody would have held Apple. I've known very few people that have held Apple to the end.
Yep.
I mean, they still be holding it. And I don't know too many people that are still holding it. I mean, they've been in and out of it. Maybe they sold it and they watched it keep going up. They bought back in. They kind of lost a little bit of it. I don't know.
I know people that had it. I have clients that have, cost basis on Apple of, $12 a share. And every once in a while, we take a little bit off, very small amounts off, because maybe they're taking money out for retirement or whatever. And you don't want to sell a lot of it anyway, because you have a big tax implication if you do so.
Right.
So, let's talk about the trade deal that was signed last week after the show, I think on Wednesday.
Right. This is the trade deal you don't like.
Well, the trade deal was signed and we have things like China is required to buy X amount of agriculture over a couple of years and some manufacturing products and some other things. Amounts to about $200 billion worth of goods. There's some other things in there about, tightening up some trade issues and some other allowing banks and financials into their markets. That was good. But one of the things I think was really interesting is how do we get this deal done when both sides were kind of hemming and hawing for so long? And the reason I found was because there's a little clause in there regarding dispute resolution. And for example, it says that if the United States alleges that China is not living up to the agreement, the complaint would have to be aired before an escalating series of officials and a process that would take about 75 days. And if the dispute can't be resolved as at the ministerial level there, tariffs can be opposed by the accusing party and only recourse by the offending party would be to quit the agreement entirely. So there's a clause in there. It says, if the party complaining against considers the action of the complaining party was taken in bad faith, the remedy is to withdraw from the agreement by providing written notice of the withdrawal to the complaining party. So in other words, you don't do what you're supposed to do and follow along what you're supposed to be doing in this deal. Yeah, send a little written note. You send up a tweet. That's written, right? Send up a tweet. We're out. We're not doing this anymore.
Could either side do that?
Yes. There's supposed to be a process. If there is a complaint, if they're not holding up, there's supposed to be the process of going through channels and escalating the issue and whether or not and, kind of try and negotiate and work it out. But essentially, the other party can say, well, no, that was bad faith. We didn't like what you did there. That was no good. We're out. So if China, for example, doesn't maybe buy the goods, even though it's put in there that they have to buy a certain amount of goods, even though they said after the fact they will do it based on market supply and demand requirements. So if they don't live up to it, the U.S. could say, well, that was done in bad faith. We're out and we're going to put tariffs back on.
Okay, well.
So it's flimsy.
Yeah, well maybe it'll be fine.
It probably will be fine. Because everybody wants it to be fine, at least until the election.
Yeah, we'll see what happens after that.
Yep. Earnings. IBM came out tonight, beat by 2 cents, upped its guidance, which was nice. First time in I don't even know how many quarters that IBM actually had an increase in revenue. Stock was up 5% after hours.
They had an increase in revenue. Yep. Is astonishing.
Astonishing. They've been dropping forever. But some of that could be possibly from the acquisition of Red Hat. I have to look into how much.
Could it also be from a currency exchange? We've got the dollar has gone up quite a bit.
It could be all of that. It's very possible. But something's going on where their cloud deal was better. Again, that benefits and says to me that it's probably Red Hat related. So who knows how much of this was put into it, because Red Hat acquisition is done. So it's probably going to be baked into here a bit. So they better have had an increase in revenue. But it was only like, I think it was only like 1%. But still, it was an increase. So the stock was up 5%. I think people are looking for, you know, something to be happening here. Netflix beats on EPS and revenue, guides down on subscription or subscriber guidance. Stock was a bit flat to down after hours. I think it popped a little bit, maybe up 1%. Capital One beat by 14 cents. And that was a pretty good number. Some of the banks did pretty good. We had the biggest one. The biggest winner last week of all the banks coming out with numbers was Morgan Stanley.
Yeah. They totally
blew the numbers.
Took it to the bank.
Yep. Oh. Boeing 737 MAX update. Now, here's something interesting, a new wrinkle in this little fiasco. There are some that are calling for the removal of the MAX name from the
Yeah, this is an old Chinese trick.
Aha.
One of the first times I flew into Hong Kong, this was years ago. And this was during one of their, they had a Trident jet, some sort of jet crash that crashed at the in Hong Kong. And they had, it was still there when I had landed, and it was on the side of the runway, just a mess. This thing burnt to a crisp. And I was actually talking to one of the pilots. The first thing the Chinese did when this jet crashes, they sent a huge team of people to paint out the logo. So it's just this fuselage with it was just painted white.
Right. So nobody knows what it is. Yeah. Ah, that's smart.
Yeah. Well, that's what the Boeing's thinking now.
Yeah. Take the name Max off and nobody will know. We're going to call it 737 Plus. Well, that's good. Everybody else has the Plus now. We have the Apple Plus. We have that Plus, Disney Plus. So there's also news that the company's working on a $10 billion loan to fund liabilities due to groundings and injuries and deaths. It was supposed to be $5 billion. And the stock was actually halted today for a little while because the ungrounding of the fleet is now pushed back to mid-2020. Stock ended up down to about 3.5%. Pretty much all of the Dow's losses was due to Boeing today. Without that, it would have been pretty much flat for the day. Now, one of the things that I have a little bone to pick with the company is when I dug deep into some of the numbers and I started looking, I saw that Boeing, since 2013, has bought back more than $43 billion worth of their stock.
Hmm.
So I was thinking, Boeing, I hope you're listening, although I'm flying out of Boeing this week. Maybe if you prioritized your quality over share price, things would be a little different here. Could have spent the money on making sure things were square with the plane, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
They're so focused. These companies, that's the problem with quarterly earnings, and it's the problem with how markets react, the problem with making sure that, you know, share price stays up at all costs.
It should be illegal to index your bonuses via the stock prices. That's what's going on.
Right. That's exactly what's happening. And if your salary, if your total compensation was based on the price of something that you had control of, what would you do?
Yeah, I'd jack it up.
Jack it up, right? Every way you could. That's the problem with this world. It's all about the money, and that's why the executives who are making $20, $30, $40 million a year, you know, and get the bonuses, and then they have to maybe hold that. It doesn't vest for a couple of years. So what do? Over that period of time, during their tenure, all they're concerned about is their stock price. And that's, of course, good for investors. But there's something that's kind of left out.
At some point, it comes back to bite you in the butt.
Mm-hmm. All right. We talked about the close to the pin winner, which I got to pick up that trophy. We had that trophy engraved, and it is ready for pickup and shipping out. So we'll get that done. Thank you, everybody, for the donations. Last week, we had you weren't here for this. Before the show, pre-show, we had a Rush. I told you about it. We had a Rush special where we some dedicated some of the music.
Yeah, you and Rush.
Yeah, me and Rush. Have you listened to a Neil Peart drum solo yet?
I can't say that I have. Well, maybe.
Take that pen that's sitting next to you and write it down. Listen to a YouTube video of Rush with Neil Peart's drum solo. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed.
If you say so.
Yep. And anyway, my point was of that, that thank you so much. We got some nice donations in of people who really appreciate the music of Rush. So I want to thank you for that and tell you that it's much appreciated. All right, let's see what we have here. A couple of things. So over the weekend, remember that there was some things that went into with Myanmar. There was a prime minister, a leader, Xi Jinping from China was talking and whatever. And it seems that there was a translation program.
Yes, this is a good story.
That appeared on Facebook for in the headlines in the story about the Chinese leader's name translated somehow from, I guess, Chinese into Burmese. And it translated to Mr. Shithole.
Yeah.
So there was a visit there and there was all this. And let's see, it said a statement about the visit published. Suki's official Facebook page was littered with reference to Mr. Shithole when translated to English. When a headline in local news journal, the Irrawaddy appeared as dinner honors President Shithole. Yeah. How that happens, I don't even know.
Yeah, well, it happens.
Yeah. Starbucks has a war on milk. You know, I don't know if you watched some of the milk companies like Dean Foods and a few others. They're just
They're all collapsing.
Because people, I don't drink milk. I have a lactose intolerant. So I drink oat milk or almond milk.
Lactose-free milk.
Well, I drink, but I have the alternatives now. I have almond milk and oat milk and what's the other one? Flaxseed milk. It's all just
flax milk.
White water.
It's not milk. None of these products are milk.
I get it, but it acts like a good substitute. It's a little bit thick. It's a little bit milky-ish. It's a milky color. So Starbucks now said that adding whipped cream to millions of Starbucks drinks emits 50 times as much greenhouse gas as the company's private jet.
What?
That's what they said. Adding whipped cream to millions of the drinks for the lattes and all that emits 50 times more. So in other words, all of the amount of total whipped cream they put on their drinks emits 50 times as much greenhouse
gas.
That's
just from the dairy. It's not from the gas in the whipped cream, which is nitrous oxide. It's a different product.
Right. So seemingly maybe because they have to, maybe they're correlating that to the amount of cows that have to produce the milk.
Yeah, I guess. Do this. And they're farting all the time, those damn cows.
Right. So overall, dairy products are the biggest source of carbon dioxide emissions across the coffee giant's operations and supply chain.
By 2030, comes up with this nonsense.
By 2030, the cafe chain is targeting 50% reductions in its carbon emissions, water withdrawal, and waste sent to landfills. It's testing new drinks made with plant-based ingredients. I wish we had a gag sound effect here. Testing new drinks made with plant-based ingredients and seeking ways to make whipped cream without emitting nitrous oxide, a greenhouse gas. Starbucks.
Well, nitrous oxide is a greenhouse gas too?
Yeah, of course. Everything's a greenhouse gas.
Jeez.
Starbucks also aims to lower the cost of dairy alternatives by helping suppliers boost output. So another, this is backed, but you know what this is? This is back to that whole ESG I talked about. And I've been talking about, and I said, keep your ears open to this because it's going to start to be a bigger and bigger issue. The environmental, social, and governance. Because it's all going to be put into a process where companies are going to be blacklisted from various indices and portfolios.
They're just doing this to prevent make it look like this is virtue signaling.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. Starbucks whipped cream.
Because if you're going to put whipped cream on your coffee, which by the way, I don't know why anyone does that in the first place, but you know, it's there. You're not going to want whipped almond milk, whatever, or some other crazy thing.
Pea protein milk. That's what they're gonna, Cool Whip. What is that?
It's just some sort of a hydrogenated weird chemicals. It's a chemical.
It's the equivalent of that not butter stuff.
Yes. I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah. Can't believe it's not butter. Ugh.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll finish this this part of the discussion up with a nice story. Seems that Howard Kirby of Michigan got the surprise of his life when he found over $43,000 in cash inside the couch he purchased for the Habitat for Humanity Restore in Owosso, wherever that is, Owosso, Michigan. So he purchased the couch to outfit his man cave, he said, and he kind of felt uncomfortable when he was sitting in it. His daughter eventually unzipped the cushion to examine if further discovered stacks of $100 bills in there. So what was nice about this was, besides the fact that the first part is, this guy's $43,000 richer, he actually tracked down the previous owner who had passed away and gave the money to his kid.
That's very nice if that's actually what happened.
What would you have done that? First of all, if you were Howard Kirby who bought this, would you have actually gone and tried to find the person and give back the money? A little splitskies.
I'm wondering whether I would. It's hard to say.
What about
if I was guilt-ridden and I didn't need $43,000? I probably would, or maybe not. I don't know. And if I found he was dead, I'd say, well, you know, he left $20,000 in the couch.
$20,000, not 43, right? Yeah.
Well, who's going to know? Because the old man's not there. He would have said, wait a minute, I had 43, but nobody's there to say that. I mean, that's always a possibility. Maybe he had $100,000 in there, and this $43,000 story is bogus.
Uh-huh. So 43 sounds like an odd number, so that would have to be
it's
right.
A very odd number.
Yeah. Now, what if, let's flip it. You were the one that sold the couch.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Somebody comes to you and says, hey, found all this money in there. Would you take it?
Well, yeah, if it's my money.
Well, all right.
Somebody's but I'd give the guy a finder's fee of at least $4,000.
Right. 10%. I don't think that's unreasonable. Yeah. All right. Well, that was a nice story. Howard Kirby.
These stories are very dubious.
Very dubious. But, you know, it's a nice story if it did happen. And hopefully, you know, maybe they bought, well, maybe what they did was they bought him at least a new couch to get a new comfy chair to replace this one. So I want you to be prepared for what's going to happen next here, because I think this is something to behold.
This is DH Unplugged's Brain Teaser.
Brain Treaser?
Hold it. You want to hear it?
This is DH Unplugged's Brain Teaser.
What's this Brain Teaser? Okay. Oh, anyway. Tom sent it to
me
tonight.
That's the old one. Where's the new one?
That's the new one. Tom sends
not on here. This is the old one. This is the one that was last show.
No, this is a new background music.
Oh, I'm talking about the Brain Teaser itself.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're not getting a lot of good response from this.
Maybe we should go back to the limericks. I think those were that people really got jacked up about those.
Yeah, you know what? Anybody that's listening, do us a favor. Retweet on, Twitter, of course. If you want to have the Fed limericks again, if you want to have the audience participate in that. So just let us know, send it over, retweet my handle in there. That's Andrew Horowitz, one word, and the real Dvorak for John. And tell us if you want us to bring back the Fed limericks, which is a nice thing. We'll have to, maybe we never had an intro for that. So maybe we can have
this. No, you finally get an intro for this. Now you're dumping it.
Well, you hate them.
I don't hate him. It's just that you haven't come up with anything decent.
Okay. Okay. Well, last week's was what five-letter word becomes shorter when you add two letters to it?
Yeah, I know.
You said it was easy.
Yeah, it was an F. I gave you an F because I knew immediately what it was.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because the word is short and it's right in there. What five-letter word becomes shorter? Well, shorter would be short, S-H-O-R-T. What five-letter word is short? When you add two letters, ER, shorter. You know, this is an old style of brain teaser. It's so easy. It's not even, you know, it's not even worth the discussion. That's why I gave it an F.
Yeah. Well, I was wounded.
Now I, why?
I'm just kidding. So we're not going to play the outro on that one, but I do want to mention and bring it back to the whole story I was saying before we got sidetracked with all this other stuff was, if you desire to donate, go over to DH Unplugged, click on the little yellow button, help us out, help out the cause, keep the whole thing rolling. It's part of your Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. You listen to us every week. You've been listening to us for years, drone on about nothing. So why not, you know, help us out with
nothing but good tips for everybody.
Right. Well, it's been that does bring us to the next part of this, right?
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
So we still have a lot on the list. I want you to take this and look at the we flipped. Well, because some things came off. Let's be fair.
Yeah.
Some things came
off. Those two off, though, we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah. So you still, your summer sales.
So it's all green, actually.
You're doing pretty good. Take it down the list.
Well, let's start off. We got the old one, oldie but good, is Summit Bank, which had a descending triangle. It's up 10%. Good for a bank. I think still a good investment. Advanced Drainage Systems, another, that's an insider, it's up 27%. That was a good call on my part.
Oh, yeah.
Schnitzer Steel is a chart buy, and it's not up. It's going to get bounced off. That was probably not a good one. Discovery Communications, which is another insider's one, is up a point. It's dead money. Cinedigm, which is a insider's 25% stop, was a penny stock. And it's gotten bounced off, so it's the way it goes. I still think it's 66. I might be tempted to put it back on there. I can't pronounce this other stock, which is yours.
Pindua.
It's up a couple points. PBF Energy has been kicked off. It was an insider's thing. It's may or may not be good. Simon Property, triangle descending, another up. And then Virgin Galactic, which is one of your picks, out of the blue, you picked this. I thought it was dubious, and it's up 22%.
I think in a week.
In a week. So you kicked ass with that one. So that's the big winner. And then ETF managers, Triterra, XP, Latin, something or other. I don't know what you're up to.
That's actually not the
one. That's mine. That was bottom feeding.
Actually, I don't know what it says that. I'm going to change the name of this. This is the ETF MJ Holdings.
Yeah, that's the one we picked up. Picked it up off the show because I thought it was bottom feeding at the time, and it is bottom feeding, and it's gone up.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have one pick.
Do you think I should pick one of these, the Lakeland or the
Yeah, I think you definitely should because I like to follow it, and we won't follow it unless somebody picks it.
All right, well, I'll put Lakeland Industries on there, symbol LAKE, with a spec play for the coronavirus with a 15% stop, up 24% today.
Well, you know, good luck.
Yeah, well, that's why I asked.
I could find a good insider's play, but I did find another triangle descending, which is an interesting one. This would be a good closer to the pin stock. DuPont.
Oh. Control V.
Which neither one of us has ever played in this game.
Is it D?
DuPont. DD? Is it DD?
Yeah, I think so. Yep. DuPont de Nemours.
Yeah.
Click that. That's a long triangle descending. It's a JCD pick. Got that. It's episode 490. And yeah. Okay. And 122.20. Okay. Got it. Let me just look at this here. That's all good. Okay. All right. Any other ones?
No, that's all I got.
Now, this is triangle descending. It's not. Okay. That's interesting. We'll see how this works because DuPont, I mean, obviously with all the chemicals and what's going on with the global economy picking up slightly, even though the IMF, by the way, the IMF dropped global growth down by 0.1%. Still in growth territory, but looking at about 3.2%, or 3.3% for 3.4%. China saw a little bit of a tick up on a few things. German Zoo Index, their consumer confidence, investor confidence, or their confidence numbers, was up nicely. One of the biggest jumps we saw for December into January, which worked out very nicely. So maybe that whole thesis of the bottoming process is actually coming to fruition. We'll have to see.
That could be. That would be interesting. That's going to make 30,000 look like nothing.
Yeah, and if it is in fact the case, then you're probably going to do well with a chemical company, which obviously does better in a better economy.
I was investing in copper.
Right. Well, that's Freeport MacMoran. That's the stock for that.
Yeah. So I'll look into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I will. I'm not going to see you next week. Let's just get that clear again. Not going to see you next week. I will see you the week after.
All right. Good. All right. We'll talk to you then. Right. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.